Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Horsemanship Remark Show. It is spring. The song of the season is Little Girl Gone. I'm sure you guys know it. Check it out. Put your AirPods in and crank it up. Get all the things done that you have been putting off. Good morning, everybody. Sorry I was 1 minute late. Corey, Val, Joanne, Mike, Stuart, Dale, good morning. Let's add Michael. He has 1 hour, you guys. So we have to be serious about letting him go on time. Michael. So you guys, this thing I got, who else knows somebody who got the same little bug?
Super serious.
Serious.
Jesus. I can't believe you mentioned the song. That's all I've been listening to. I was like, I thought about mentioning it, and I'm like,
what I didn't mention is that you're the one who put it on the list.
Oh, man. Oh, I just can't stop listening to it.
Dale, so...
Stephanie and I must have listened to it a few thousand times on our, on our trek to South Dakota.
Yes. So you guys can check out Strawberry Power Chick playlist on Spotify.
Is it?
I think.
You have it public?
I thought so. Peggy, good morning. You know, I realized that I can add you as a collaborator. Yeah, you can do it.
I was just going to send you.
You can do it that way. That way I can vet the tunes. But
I'm just not sure it's everyone's musical taste.
It's not Lyle Lovett. It's not Waylon something. Jennings. Ian Tyson, may he rest in peace. Who else is it not? Lots of good. It's not.
It's not. It's pretty unique and it's pretty raw.
I can't believe you didn't hear that one line.
I know. It's hilarious. Since you texted it to me, that's all I hear.
A big pause. The line is, come at me, don't say that I didn't warn you. yes. We all have those moments, even if it's just to our own selves. I was thinking about that. I have someone in my life right now that I have had to say, we're done. But it also could be just myself. Like, get this done. Like, weaker self or lazier self or... whatever, I would say weaker self. Like, you're done, out of here. It's a fight song.
It's a, it's definitely a get your ass in gear song.
Yes.
It's barely driven. But don't all listen to it. It's not for most people. I don't know why we're spending time on this show.
Well, to be fair, it's our show, and...
to be fair, yes.
So, I have terrible taste in music.
No. So, everyone South Dakota, knows that. Let's get to business.
Most people know that, and I love that kind of music.
So, tell me, I'm surprised I haven't asked you this outright before. When you watch Buck Ride, do you have a specific group of songs for each horse? For each season of clinics, each year.
You haven't asked me that before?
I was going to put together a playlist in Sheridan, and I didn't quite get enough songs for it to, like, be a thing. I wish I would have, because Buck's Ride on Beef was the most impactful ride I've seen. Sorry. Just got to tell the truth like it is. It was so good. It was.
I mean, yay! Good for you.
Yet again, I'm not. I don't know if I can put words. I don't know if I can put words on exactly what it was in a lot of ways, but it was one of those where you're like, I can't believe I'm witnessing this. It almost like it's so magical. I have so many things to say.
Yes.
We don't have time to say it all. It's just not fair.
We're going to let you talk. Do you want me to answer that question real quick, or shall we just?
Yes.
Okay, because this is a good
question.
Because people throughout all the years have seen me with my AirPods in. It used to be earbuds. Anyway, back then, if you think about it, way back in the beginning, I had the tiny little square iPod. Oh my gosh. Good morning, Lisa. Hi. So here's the deal. In order to remember things very, very deeply, you can anchor it to a sound, right? So basically what I've done is every clinic, I have two or three songs. And a lot of times it'll be each horse has their own song, typically. And then it's just on repeat. Well, or even one song for the ride. Yeah, there was one.
Because I was like, two songs, that's not enough. I need like three or four to last to the ride, but yeah. I should have just taken the one song. Because it's like I can't remember all of it.
Yeah,
like, it's fuzzy.
That's the hard part. I really wish I would have gotten it, honestly, just because, you know, it would have been a great to the people who were complaining about Beef, you know, his ride in fall. It's like, how about trust the master and watch it come together before you're talking. So, but that's okay. We'll get more. We'll get more. So, all right. Yeah. Start talking. That's where I get to kick back.
Start talking. I told Buck that ride in this clinic, this is the best clinic I've been to. And I think it was right place, right time, or when you're ready, the teacher will appear. And in this case, it was more the teacher has been there, but when you're ready to see, you see so much more. And a lot of it was simple stuff. You know, it always comes back to the very most basic, watching the rein connect to the foot, the whole thing get balanced. Groundwork and riding. I had the opportunity to work with five different horses in the morning class.
Did you guys hear that?
Now I could go through and kind of talk about it. Yeah, it's pretty fun. So the first day, I think there were two horses, and he kind of put me on the first one right away because the horse is really kind of stuck and just wanting to crowd her. It wasn't so much running over her, but essentially it was running over her. But she just couldn't get it off of her. It wasn't like I send you and the horse dives through the space and smashes into me. She just couldn't get the horse to move away from her. She'd apply pressure and the horse would just crowd that. So that was a pretty easy to get a pretty quick change because it's just like, dude, get out there and give me space, which she wasn't quite able to assert herself enough to get that done at first. But pretty quickly, he's like, all right, give her horse back. She's good. We got to work triage over here. Let's bring you over to this gray horse because this horse is wanting to kick the flag out of her hand and just really fussy about moving forward. Had no thought to move forward, just angry at the fact that she was even asking. And I had that horse for the rest of the morning that first day. And it was just so clear how much that horse just needed to know where the answer was, and that the answer was forward, and that the answer was bend and move the hindquarters. And as soon as we had those two things ironed out, the horse changed immensely. And then at one point I asked Buck, you know, we're getting going pretty good, but I have a feeling if I ask this horse to step it up and step up into a trot, we're going to get the same reaction again. You know, is that, what do you think? And he said, yeah, go for it. Just see how he responds. It was the same thing. We're walking. We even had decent life in the walk. But the moment I said, give me a little bit more, he started kicking out at the flag again. And that took a little bit, kind of started the whole thing over, not near as extreme as it was at first. At first, it was he was trying to line me up, and rope was really short. And then I had a Pirelli carrot stick with a flag on the end, and I had a 12-foot lead rope. So I had like all this rope balled up in my hand because I had to be like 2 feet from the halter just to keep him
You're
from
like, wait, did I go
spinning
back
and
10
kicking
years?
at me.
More than
Yeah,
that.
exactly. So, and my wrist hurt from the spring of the fiberglass pole. I remember when I was doing that years back, there was one point I had a client that was a physical therapist, and she's like talking to me about how to stabilize my wrist. But when I started using the flag, it was like, oh, well, there's the difference. It doesn't have that spring to it. But anyway, I felt it right away in my wrist because it bounces, right? And that all ricochets through your
Oh,
wrist if you're
sure, yeah.
tapping with it. Not if you're like sweeping a string over. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it was a challenge to keep switching sides and not get
It's a
that
good way
coil
to
to where it was
tell the
going to grab
story. You should
you.
also be telling what size the horse is, what color, things like that. It's good storytelling techniques. How was the weather? Like, I mean,
You're telling me,
you guys know.
okay, you're doing all right, but you can tell this story a little bit better. All right, I'll try. The gal had, I'm not sure if she'd done Pirelli, but all of her equipment was Pirelli, and she kind of had that style about how she was operating. It looked like it was a gray horse, gelding, really, really nice looking horse. Once he lined out, just really kind of quiet and peaceful to get along with once he knew what to do. But beautiful horse, very angry at first. At one point it was going quite well. Oh, this first, and this will apply to another horse that I might have time to talk about. Was interesting how much. And I didn't catch this right at first, but in hindsight, that horse, and then when I got to the paint that I'll talk about in a bit, how much sending forward and driving that hindquarters, you had to pay attention to the front end, not bowing into you at all. So you could kind of be getting the hindquarters, you could kind of be getting a bend, but if there was any moments where he felt like straight, kind of trying to address that, and I think part of it was the fiberglass rod of the flag. I was trying to address that by driving with the flag, and it just did not have the gravitas it needed. And at one point, he had a little bit more room out there because I was trying to get that flag in between and say, get your shoulder, line out to where you're changing the shape of your body, making it concave around me. And he actually reared and struck out because of the flag right there. He wasn't able to realign himself. He didn't know what the answer was there. So,
And side note,
go
some
ahead.
that doesn't just have to do with the flag, right? Because it's interesting. Corey, you're still here probably this morning. With Whitney, her horse, I just tapped that part with my hand, and she did not see, like, I could tell she was tight, and just from experience that was the thing. But it's not like she's not scared of my hands, right? So just saying not here caused her to really like a different horse,
Yeah,
move.
absolutely. If that door appears to be open or they believe that door to be open, they're gonna keep trying that. Even if like this horse was not trying to run me over, there was enough of a block there that he knew that boundary. But at one point, I'm not sure why it didn't occur to me at first, or I didn't notice it at first, or I was trying to address it differently at first. But at one point, I did the just throw my arm up into, in the side of his head and up toward the front end. And he really clear it out, and it was quite different after that. I was like, okay, now I have the shape I need. And I had to do it a few times, obviously, it could get better, and then he'd try it again. But that made all the difference in the world in terms of how he was, because then it made available to me the forward and the hindquarter yield. It all kind of rolled together. So that was a, doggone it, why didn't I do that like right off the bat sort of feeling. But
that's when you know you're doing it right.
Yeah. What was great about this clinic, one of the things that was great about this clinic, is as I'm working these horses, I told Buck right off the bat, well, not even working this horse, but I got a rooster, you know, for the afternoon class. And more or less right off the bat, I'm like, I ain't going to annoy you so much with questions right now, because I am like right in there thinking about so many things, visualizing so many things. And that's what it was with these horses I was working. And like, he'd say something and I come back and clarify. He said, the paint that I'll talk about in a minute, he's like, you didn't have rhythm bumping. And this is probably one of the keys to the clinic. Let's finish the gray horse for just a moment. So, got him lined out, and I asked Buck, you know, he's forward, he's moving his hindquarters, this all feels very soft. I already kind of said, hey, get up to the trot, and he stopped fussing about that. His ears were kind of soft, and he was on me. I said, do you want me to, you know, hand him back to her, or, you know, what would you like me to do at this point? And he said, well, let's do one other thing before you give her back, and that was leading by on the fence and having him come up the rope, driving him if he didn't, you know, follow right off. And
you want to clarify what you mean
by okay, so up? Well, the first is leading by on the fence. You're standing facing the fence, you send him through, and then you step into the fence, and they should feel that rope coming tight and stop the front feet quite, you know, without drifting around behind you, and yield the hindquarters and end up facing you more or less parallel to the fence. Finish that hindquarter yield without the rope ever coming tight. And he was very one-sided in that. I think it was the left side. His hindquarters going left to right was pretty good. Right to left, it took a little bit more bumping because he was wanting to drift behind me. It just wasn't as sharp as it could have been. But that's a really cool exercise, because you can have it quite good in the circle and then rolling the hindquarters back to your circle, or circle, move the hindquarters into a breakover. And there's just that little wiggle room that there isn't when you're up against the fence. It puts a little bit of a bind in there, and it shows you inch by inch how sharp it is or how much drift there is.
That's right. The drift.
So yeah. That was really cool. That came through for him relatively quickly, although there was a spot there that we had to work on. And then we were saying, coming up the rope, we were leading them along the fence, and you kind of walk off with a little bit of feel on the rope, but before the rope comes tight, you're going to get behind and drive them forward with your flag. And she had done a bit of that. Like, he knew kind of the stick to me game, where if she was walking, he'd walk with her. If she would stop, he'd stop and back. But there wasn't the punctuality to it that was needed. Like, if you hurried off a little bit, he was not ready, and then you'd drive and he'd kind of get all excited. He at least went forward without fussing and, you know, wanting to fight you about it, but he got emotional and kind of wanted to blast past you. And then I kind of block and say, no, you're not running through here past me, you're coming with me. So there was a moment there where he was a little bit upset, not knowing what the answer was, but that came together, and then I handed him back to her. She did a great job. She started with that just because that's what everyone was still working on, and it was going quite good. And then after class, she wanted a little help doing the circle hindquarter yield back to the circle, and he did really nicely for her. I mean, she was just kind of figuring it out, but he was definitely working for her right there and filling in for her a little bit. What was fun about that one, on day three, Buck was talking to Dalton quietly. Dalton then brought him coffee. He's like, boy, it's really carried over for that gray horse, huh? And I was like, yes. And a lot of that was the horse. I think the horse just needed to know where to go. And she did a nice job, but it was very satisfying to have something that was that extreme and it to carry through over 2 days of her working the horse after I was done. So.
What was your comment to me? I thought you made a really good comment when you were telling me the story before.
I don't remember what
You just
specific
said,
comment.
you, well, I think that this was in relationship to that horse. You just said, because why wouldn't it? Because when it su suits the horse, when it suits the horse, what, why wouldn't they?
Why
You
wouldn't
know,
it carry
that's, Of course, it is a huge compliment to you also, but to the owner, because if you could wreck it, you know.
Well, and if, why wouldn't it? And yet, if there had been any pushback and she had sucked back, he could have easily gone back to that. But he's less apt to do that. There's less apt to be any pushback because he knew where to go. And that's kind of the why wouldn't he? He didn't have the answer before at all. And then it's like, oh, dang, that's simple. So that one was really cool. Day two, I helped with a couple horses. One, well, they were both in the context of working, backing up and reaching the front end, like setting them up for a four-quarter yield and driving the front end through from the ground. So the one was a little pain, and was kind of funny. I felt for her, but it was almost comical how much she was trying and how much the horse is just going, whatever. Because she would try to back and she'd get one step, but there was no freedom to it. It was the horse would go back and the head would be up. And then she'd go in there, and Buck was kind of giving her a hard time. You know, the whole white girl, you don't have any rhythm, because she was trying to move the front end over, and Buck was, you know, saying, just bump him over like this. And she'd bump, 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 and then get stuck, and then bump. So eventually, Buck got her to have some rhythm, and she was doing this, but the horse is just head around here. And it was absolutely like she was massaging the horse. It was just like this, you know, rhythmic massage. The horse just had no clue to go. Buck's like, Michael, get out here. Show her what she might need to do. So with that horse, it took a lot. Actually, all these horses, it took quite a bit physically to get a change. This one more bumping to get the bend. The other was more driving, throwing your arm up into you, the gray horse. But this little paint, it took a lot to bump her back. I would have probably got in front of her and popped her to get the idea of freeing up going backward, except we had a big old snap on there. And I'm like, I'm
Yeah,
still.
do you wanna set up how you were, you know, like, because I believe that you were standing on one
I
side
was
and
standing one side
then
next to the horse's neck. If I'm on the horse's left side facing the horse's neck, I had my right, or sorry, left hand up, and this is all reverse because of the mirroring effect of the camera. But we're trying to back up. I'm on a horse's left side. My left hand was up by the nose to help the horse stay straight. It was kind of the blocking hand. And my right hand was at an angle such that I was bumping up to where my hip would have been in the saddle. So bumping straight down the horse's body, trying to keep the horse straight, but saying, come back, right? Eventually,
that only works if your wingspan is Michael's length.
yeah, eventually you're just lifting the rope and there's no bumping at all. But, well, Buck was adamant, get, and probably because I had the height to do so, get it up to where your hip would be in the saddle. So there, one of the things Buck said early on is I was not keeping him straight enough. There was just that slight tip of the nose toward me, and that slight crookedness was making it more difficult for him to free up and go back. And so to counter that, you know, there was a little bit more driving, excuse me, a little bit more driving with the blocking hand, but I found that in order to get him straight, I actually had to have him bent away from me for a while. And this was kind of a theme through a lot of different things. If you want, if they're trying to bend left, but you want straightness, you might have to send them right, kind of to offset that, and then let them find their way and allow them straight thereafter. I'll come back to that, but shit, we don't have enough time.
We have half an hour.
So I'm blocking. Find I need to block a little bit more and actually have them bent away from me just a little bit to make my point there. And then eventually I can let him straight without him thinking about bending toward me.
Okay. And when you were backing up, you were also at the shoulder facing forward, correct?
Well, I was facing him more or less to block. And then I was sending the rope sideways. I mean, once they kind of have the idea, you can turn to where you're facing the same direction as them and kind of lift the rope and they just back with you. But in order to have the angle to bump down there, you're kind of facing them at first, facing their neck. So anyway, good Lord, that took a lot. And it'd get a little bit freed up and then I go for the front end and it kind of work. But oh man, to really get that horse to turn loose took a lot of bump, bump, bump. And then it was again, the moment of understanding from the horse. You're not going to just give me a massage. You're not just going to bang on me. And I kind of throw my head up and back one step. Like, this is not working. The previous answer is not, is no longer the right answer because this is still miserable. And the moment, and it was maybe a couple moments where the horse went, good Lord, I better like shake this up and go back. Thereafter, it was so much easier, but it took a lot to get that message to the feet when the horse had kind of systematically been taught to, you know, put your head up, brace in your under neck, kind of drag your feet back. Like, that was the answer. So I got him freed up.
This is where the original statement, like, it has to get to the feet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that was the message, not even necessarily Buck was saying it more than he ever has, but that was what I was seeing on totally different levels all over the place. And with this horse in particular, it was, you know, I get a little bit freed up and I go to move the front end and I kind of have it going, but it was still like I was running into a wall, not a hard wall, like there was some give, but I was still crashing into the horse to get whatever I was getting. And, you know, with all these horses, I approached them very softly at first, not wanting to just go in there and go to town, which is a change. I was like, yeah. So that was good. But like this horse, when I went to move the front end, it was like, okay, I got a little bit of the backup. You are prepared. And I kind of came in, you know, setting it up like, okay, I'm going to put a little pressure and weight on you. But that's exactly what the horses had. I'm going to wait on you here and kind of allow you to find it. And then the horse goes, oh, okay, you don't really want it. You're just going to do this massage thing. So noticing that very quickly, I adjusted to, all right, we're going to get you freed up backing. And then I am going to come in pretty strong and say, now go. Got to interrupt this sticky spot. And, you kind of almost like jump in there and the horse.
Well,
whoa.
And?
Yeah. And?
Well, just, yeah, read that.
Oak Creek Equine, which I believe that is Faith. This is so helpful with what my mare and I have been working on. That's good.
Cool. And then we have a couple other comments. We'll go back in a second. But I was just going to say the note that might be helpful to some folks is just part of the reason that timing is important is, yes, you have to be firm, but the other thing is, if you have some motion finally and some freedom, you don't want to let that get stuck before you then go try to.
And the more freedom I had, the less I had to kind of burst in there. So if it was like, I got a little freedom, now I'm going to come in here slow, not working. I got a little freedom, now I'm going to come in with this little bit of a burst of energy because the moment is only there for a moment. And, you know, then that worked a little better. But when I really got free going back, and again, that took a lot, but it was great to have Buck there kind of talking to everyone else, saying this is what he's doing, and you're going, okay, I must be on the right track because he's not, you know. So I always go back to the horse that I was working out on the East Coast. I think it was South Carolina, and there was one point where I was holding. There's a little gray horse named Bingo, and it was a little sticky to back up. I felt like I was always pulling, and at one point, Buck's like, "Just take hold," and I was pulling and holding so hard. He's like, "Just hang in there. Just hang in there." And we drug backward 11s with the front feet for a long way, half of a fairly long arena. He said, "Just hang in there, wait on him." But there was a lot of pressure. And then he popped loose and those feet got free. I had to do it a few times, but it was the same thing. Like, he just didn't understand. The answer was free up and go. But I often think of that as an example of, without the teacher that you respect that has the lifetime of experience, there's no way in hell I would have stuck with that situation with Bingo. But trusting Buck, you know, I'm like, all right. And then to go, holy cow, that worked. You know, like, I was questioning the whole way along, even though I was trusting Buck, is this going to work? It wasn't quite that with any of these horses, but it still had, you know, you're there with the confidence of, you know, Buck is describing what I'm doing, explaining it to those watching, kind of saying, well, this is kind of needs to happen because of how much this horse has been taught to brace and stick. So, but anyway, got her freed up going backward, came in with a little bit of kind of a pop of energy to catch that timing, get the front foot to go. And then thereafter it, you know, it got to where I wasn't bumping to go back. It was just lifting, and there was not the need for the burst of energy in there because the horse had the idea, again, knew where to go, had an idea of where to go, and we just kind of flow across. And that one, the owner still had to work for it. I got the idea in the horse's mind, like he was starting to understand. And so it wasn't just solid and confirmed, and I handed it back to her. So she had to work for it, but she got it. I mean, she didn't end up in the stuck spot where she had the horse bending her neck and was just kind of bumping, massaging the horse. So that was fun to watch her still have to kind of feel around for how much to do because the horse wasn't really handing it to her at that point. And I got called off that horse to help with another one that wasn't real extreme, but it was the same exercise. This one, Buck was having her do it slightly differently. excuse me. Rather than, well, she probably started beside the horse like he was having everyone do, but the horse is just backing up and not coming across. So she kind of ended up out in front of him. Buck was saying, step to your left, step to your left, step to your left, stay in position, keep the pressure on the front end to try to get the front end to come through. And
she was on the, which side?
Okay, so she was trying to get the horse to yield the four quarters left to right. And so she was on the horse's right side, but stepping kind of down the right side, saying, sweep your front end
through. So she was stepping right to left? She was on the right side.
She was trying to get the horse to yield the four quarters to the right. So she was kind of stepping toward the horse's, not toward, but down the angle on the horse's right side with her flag trying to help the nose come through.
If she's trying to yield the four quarters to the right, wouldn't she be on the left side?
The flag was on the left side.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you extend the front end out.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same request of the horse, but different position. And I think she probably started in that position, but ended up because the horse is backing up so much out in front, and Buck was saying, just stick with him, just wait for the front end to come through. But she didn't have that burst of energy. The horse just wasn't understanding it. Got called off the one horse to work with this one, and it came through quite quickly. She just needed a little bit more, like, kind of that burst of come through there. But it was interesting. Again, I was like, okay, how little can I do? And just be a little bit more in the right position, just a little bit more pressure, trying to let the horse find it. But it took, you know, I was kind of going there for a while. And then Buck's like, do more. And I kind of felt like, okay, I'm going to need to do more, but I'm going to give this horse the opportunity to find it without jumping in there and saying, now. And she just wasn't finding it. So I ended up kind of doing, again, a little bit more to help change the pattern and help the horse understand. And we got that done with, you know, just a couple times. And then, you know, after the first time or two, the horse did it. It was like, oh, okay, that's what you want. And then it just, like, the horse was like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, why didn't you just say so, you know? And I don't know that I really watched the gal work too much after that as to how it was working. But the horse, really, with all these horses, put it on the menu, and the horse is like, oh, okay. Like, now that I know that's a thing that you might want, I can do that, because it probably feels a little better. A, I'm not confused. B, you're not, you know, putting all this pressure on me, whether it be bumping me and giving me a massage, or bumping back and not being effective, or in this gal's case, driving with the horse is going, ah, there's all this pressure, but I don't know what to... So, anyway, that was a couple horses on day two. Day three, I helped a little kid, probably 11 years old, maybe 12. I mean, she was a neat little girl. She had a little brother there that was, you know, not even a year old, and she was babysitting her little brother for the afternoon class, because her mom was riding the afternoon. So, I mean, pretty, I felt like, impressive little girl, responsive, or I mean, not responsive, I'm talking about, responsible. But anyway, she's out there with her horse, kind of pony. It was a shorter horse, kind of big. It was just it had a pony mentality of, like, yeah, whatever, you're going to apply a bunch of pressure. I kind of brace against it, but generally get my feet moving. So there wasn't any softness, suppleness. Ooh, your horse about fell off.
I'm listening.
Okay.
God,
so,
it doesn't seem
so
like
here,
I am,
setting
I am.
The stage, this story about the horse. You have to be a good storyteller. I already told about Portia, the little girl. She was responsible. But the horse, braced, stiff, black and white paint, kind of chunky. Safe,
good job. Safe
in terms of the horse, you know, was going to do what she asked without doing anything real extreme or anything, but very stiff and braced to do any of it. So, holy cow. This was one of the more impactful pieces, and it kind of capstones some of the other stuff, because this is day three that I was already seeing and feeling. The degree to which I had to bump and bump and bump and bump to get flexion in this horse that was kind of rigid as a board. Keep him moving forward, keep the hindquarters stepping under with the flag driving. And I was kind of, I believe I was set up exactly like I was for backing and bringing the front end through. I had my arms crossed, my flag was over the top and driving the hindquarters, and then I was bumping with my I was on the horse's left side, I was bumping with my right hand back at that angle. So I'd get a little bit of angle in that the horse is drifting sideways. I had the hindquarters moving. It wasn't just straight to me. I wasn't right beside him. There's an angle there. But then bumping on that halter to say, I need flexion. And Buck was saying, at first you didn't have rhythm. And I was kind of dancing around more drive with the flag, drive at the shoulder with the flag, flag pointed at the ground, bumping. But I'd bump, bump, bump. And then I kind of pause and drive a little bit. And then I bump. And it wasn't just this bump, 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 bump. You gotta come off of this consistent bumping. And so afterward, we're talking about it when I've kind of got a little bit of a change. And I said, you were saying it didn't have rhythm. What was the rhythm I needed? Was it rhythm in time with the foot? Or was it a rhythm to the bump I was making? And he said, in time with the foot, yes, but not really. You had the foot. You weren't necessarily trying to get the hindquarters to move more. You were saying, while you're doing that, you need to bump. But the bump itself had to be rhythmic, which I found surprising in a way. But it triggered a thought for me that the rain does not just move a front foot, move a hind foot, depending on the position of your hand, depending on the angle, depending on your seat and legs and whatever else, you know, you're using your inside leg to move a hind quarter, outside leg to move the front end, all of that kind of talks together. But the rein is not just connected to the foot. It's also saying, stay supple laterally. And I asked like a couple of follow-up questions to make sure I was on the right page with that. And that's kind of the answer I got, is the rein, yes, it connects to the foot. Yes, you're in time with the foot, but it's also saying, stay lateral over here. Don't move the foot with a rigidity in you. So that was pretty cool. Yes.
That is still talking to the feet.
Yes.
It's just to stay loose laterally
while you're moving your foot.
You can't lose
the foot. And this is what I had the up north gals here yesterday. And we were talking about this. I said, you need them to stay loose laterally. You cannot disconnect it from the foot or you are screwed, right? So when you're saying stay soft over here, don't keep springing back and getting straight. Vinny, Julie's horse was a good example where it's like, no, you got to try to keep a bend in your body. And all of them did a great job yesterday of making sure it didn't disconnect from the hindquarters, but getting a change to where the horse was coming off your leg and being real round in that arc on the United circle by saying, you have to keep this softness laterally here. And the rein wasn't necessarily always in time with the foot. Once the horse had more bend, it was in time with the foot. With this paint gelding I was working, it was more just keep the persistent bump. But that horse was much more difficult to get the flexion to come through than the gray horse on day one. But also, same thing as the gray horse, I had to watch very closely. Oh, cute dog.
Look at his ears.
And he does have strange ears. Absolutely had to keep account for the shoulder not coming in on me. And as soon as I said, look, no, that helped it come through quite a bit quicker. So that blocking with your arm up toward their front end, I have the height to do it, was critical in kind of both cases.
When you don't have the height, you just have to use your flag.
Yeah. It was interesting though, like both of them, when I did use the flag, had a harder time with that.
Oh, and it's more distracting. Kind of,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So you definitely have to have them pretty light responsive to that flag. I don't know. I was definitely thinking about that a lot, and I have to continue thinking about how that works the same but differently.
It's the same. It's really this. I mean, you don't have a choice.
Well, it's the same, but it's a different technique. You're asking the same of the horse, but you're using a different, mm-hmm. you know, different words to communicate it or something. Different position.
No, it's not a different position,
a different tool. I mean,
yeah,
it is the same. It's 100% the same. You're asking the same thing. You're in the same position. You're influencing the same parts of the horse's body. But rather than using your arm and being maybe at this angle, you're using your flag and kind of facing them and whatever. Yeah, exactly. Looking up like this if you're Emma. So that one, those were the horses I worked. Those were the horses I worked.
And we have 14 minutes, so yeah. You better talk about your horse.
Okay, so Rooster, first time at a clinic, pretty jazzed at first, went in with the groundwork, you know, before class. It was just kind of, it's quite nice to go in there and go, you know how to do this. We have the resources. And just not let him be distracted, but not be concerned that he was, in the sense that it's like, hey, pay attention. Hey, pay attention. It was just like, come back here. You know, let's just do our thing. And because he knew the rhythm of the dance, he knew where to be. I could quietly just say, let's let this rhythm focus you in on me, you know, frequently saying, no, pay attention here, but not in a, I have to get you to pay attention sort of sense, because you're so distracted. It was just an entirely different feel, obviously, from the horses you're working in the morning, where it's like, I can't be light and say, hey, pay attention and get a response from you. I started that way with all of them, gave them the opportunity, but the good deal was nothing. So here it was able to be largely the good deal with some, hey, firming up. But anyway, so that came together pretty nice.
And that's a function of the fact that all of that was on Rooster, high on Rooster's menu.
Yes.
Whereas your morning horses, sometimes it's just not on the menu at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really cool. Got on. He was pretty antsy. We were walking United Arcs and rolling the hindquarters, kind of where Buck starts everybody out. And at first it was like, this is not, because he was still worried about the environment and tense. I tried not to be too, not anxious about it, but not too much, just similar to the groundwork, hammering on him to say, hey, you know how to do this, do it right. But it certainly did not look like it could have looked in our more connected moments. And I'm like, not a great showing for, you know, what my horse looks like, you know, first impression, I guess, of Buck. But I just kind of kept persisting and it got a little better. But I'm not sure what shifted in the energy in the group. I think it was mostly when everybody started flowing around the outside, he got a little bit more jazzed. And Buck said, you know, if you want to stop, you know, that and do a short serpentine, you know, this horse would be a candidate. And so I kept doing what I was doing. And then I said, would you do the short serpentine right now? He goes, yeah. So he's like, you could have just said that, right? Go to the short serpentine. But he made me decide to do it. Anyway.
And maybe he didn't know.
Short serpentine.
Too.
Huh?
It's possible he hadn't decided.
Yeah. Possibly. So, short serpentine, there was not the reach to the left that there was to the right. I had a lot of the head being crooked and all that, like I've had before, because he was anxious, stuff was locking up. But short serpentine really helped to connect to that inside front foot. I realized that sometimes I get that really deep bend and let them struggle through it. And other times I feel like in order to help you bend that foot, not dump on the shoulder and have the hindquarters wash out, I've allowed horses to be a little straighter in trying to help to connect to that foot. And I knew Buck was not going to be jazzed on that, which is kind of like, well, why have I been doing that, you know, elsewhere on other horses? But so he's like, no, you need to get to 90. Okay. I kind of knew that was going to be my answer. right? But he kept wanting to move the hindquarters, particularly going left. So it was kind of stay forward, really focus on reaching that front foot. And it is kind of awkward to maintain a 90 degree bend. And yet, you know, you're in kind of halfway indirect to hold that deep flexion, but then you are still having to say reach the foot out. And it's all pretty tight and small, the movements you got to make, which I think almost makes your timing a little bit more difficult. Anyway, it's understandable how challenging it can be for someone to get that 90 degree bend and connect to the foot. It is almost easier to keep it a little bit more kind of halfway an open serpentine and halfway a short serpentine and get that connection to the foot. But that was substantial change.
It's not almost, it's 100% easier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it's not holding the flexion and reaching the foot is just...
Well, you have to have the hindquarters.
Yes.
Coming forward, like the horse has to understand to come forward. And that's tricky. If you don't
have a horse that's not super responsive to your leg or not really goey, you can get really stuck there. Jody was working with Indy yesterday on that and kind of having a hard time when she started the short serpentine to keep the life. With Arista, there was no problem with life. It was just directing where that life was flowing. So once we started flowing around the outside of the arena with everybody else, he got really bouncy, and I, for a bit, didn't work, but for a bit, I was like, just onto the front of the rectangle, stay within the rectangle, and sometimes I was able to let him push on it enough till he came off that I was able to release and go on a loose rein for a bit. But there was enough of a flow of traffic, and he's now up against the bleachers, and people are walking along the metal bleachers, and there's just kind of a lot of stimulation. Not that he probably isn't used to that much from the track, but he probably wasn't real calm handling all that on the track either. So at one point we're like kind of almost cantering in place, and Buck said, "Why, one day, Michael, you'll be able to do that when you want to do it," or something like, I don't know what he said, but it's like, so I peel off the fence and I go back to my short serpentines, and that's what I did a lot of the first day. But it was neat to feel that come through with the inside front foot to the left. So that was that.
And we only have 7 minutes, so I want to make sure that you talk about, don't forget to talk about how you feel about this horse and your experience.
Okay, yes. So this was the two more things on on Rooster in this clinic. One, this was, I believe, probably the most impactful clinic and the best clinic, I would say, to date. Not only because I was seeing things that I've been trying, that's what I told Buck, I'm seeing things that I've been trying to see for a very long time. And like right now, like I can't not see it now. Like I saw it. Excuse me. I don't know why I got scratches in my throat, but the other thing that I think was a big factor is I was on a horse that inspired me, and I was like, bring it on. We're going far. You have the physical capability. I like how you feel. Just connection wise, I don't know if I want to say mental, emotional, because he was very scattered mentally, emotionally, but the way he feels about me and I feel about him, just in terms of the connection. So I think that made it a very different clinic too, because I'm always riding somebody else's horse or starting colt or riding, you know, one of my horses, but I'm more excited about this horse than I have been about other horses. And so I think that was a factor. Last thing, and this I think was the most, I only have 2 minutes to say it, but
five.
related to the bumping and rhythm without necessarily having to be in time with the foot. Watching him work Beef, at the beginning of his ride, he said, well, he talked about it afterward, but we watched him stick on the united arc and the hindquarter yield went right off the bat. Physically, it was pretty darn accurate. He was arcing around his leg. He was, scissoring the other way and changing flexion. The hindquarter yield was pretty nice. I mean, all of it as a starting point was pretty damn accurate. But he stuck on it till it was darn good. Like he really wanted that to a certain level before he went on. After the fact, he was talking about the ride, and he said, I had him physically in the rectangle. He was even mentally in the rectangle, but he wasn't thinking about doing something. He wasn't bought in to doing something together. He was kind of going through the motions in a way. I mean, he was accurate, but he wasn't like looking off here or there or distracted and still going through the motions, but it wasn't the quality of, all right, Buck, let's do something. And I'm all in. I'm excited to do this with you kind of almost thing. And I don't know that I noticed that. I was observing other things physically as he was kind of really taking it next level or being very particular. I was noticing some of those physical things, but his description of that as to what he was looking for was just really pretty cool. Because like that's what we want to be feeling for. Not just are they physically doing it, not just are they mentally not elsewhere, but are they bought in into, hey, let's do this together. And I think that's what we're really after. The piece that stood out to me and really influenced how my rides with Rooster went on that last day, I think, because he rode Beef in the morning only on the last day, was how much he said, stay soft, stay soft. And it was connected to the foot. At times you say it's not connected to the foot enough and roll the hindquarters, maybe even say, give me a little bit more, or bend a little deeper to say it's not coming all the way through you. But he was saying we're arced through our body, the hindquarters is moving, we're united, but you're not loose, is at least how I saw it and perceived it. Technically, we're right, but there's somewhere along the spine where you have not totally given yourself up to me and let go to doing this soft and supple together. And that was a lot of just the rein saying, stay bent, stay bent. So the rein wasn't necessarily in time with the foot saying, move that foot further. It was there saying, stay supple. And that is a game changer for me. There you go. I got 2 minutes for us to wrap up.
Congratulations. That's amazing. And I will try not to hold it against you.
Great clinic.
But let me just, the thing that jumps out at me at the end there is that it's funny. We should talk more about it. Because if the horse is not turned loose, is it technically correct?
Exactly.
No.
And how much turned loose is it? Because like that little paint horse I was working, I asked at the very end before I took him to the fence and started leading by, I said, and I'm not even sure, but completely understood what I was saying or asking, because I'm not sure the answer he gave really connected to what I was saying. So I think the question wasn't clear enough, because I was saying I'm getting more flexion, but I can tell it's not always connecting to the hind end. So even though I'm getting more flexion, shouldn't I be saying, but it has to go to the foot? And he said, just keep in mind how much improvement you've made. And there was not a lot of flexion. I mean, it was certainly not turned loose every vertebrae along the body. It was not. And that's what he said. Like, you know what it can be like. Don't try to make it that. You've made improvement. That's all you're That's all you need right now. So the horse was not remotely turned loose, but it was beginning to understand, feel the rope and bend. And it was not great. I mean, it was just, getting a start. And then I took him to the fence, and it was, of course, then still not very good. It took a lot more still at the fence than it did say with the grass, but the fence kind of helped it come through a little bit more. Anyway,
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's important. When do you say, look, I need this complete now? I need you to understand the complete picture. And when are you just saying a little more of this, a little more of that? Yep. Good job. Good.
You're getting
good,
the idea. Good. Yep.
Yeah. It's a good point. I'm glad you said that.
So, and last thing, we're over. But, and I told them, well, we absolutely have to be done. And now that I'm the one going over.
I'm good.
Absolutely. Last thing. You're absolved from responsibility. It's all on me now. Absolute last thing. There was one point in this clinic, I was working the little paint horse. Buck kind of laid into a young gal who probably wasn't much older than the girl I was helping, 12, maybe 15 at most. And she was not really listening to what Buck was asking her to do. She was kind of ignoring and blowing him off a little bit. I wasn't seeing it because she was behind me as I'm on the fence helping this horse. But he was very intense and very direct and said, I'm here to share my lifetime of experience with you. Enter up and do this, or give the horse to your mom and be done. I mean, that direct. And because her mom had kind of kept stepping in and helping and whatever. And other times in the clinic, extremely direct with people, as you've seen him be, quite firm, quite get your shit together and do this, or people that have had a lot of experience with them and are kind of still not breaking through, where he's quite firm. But to watch, it struck me like on a almost emotional level, very physical, almost reaction in my body, like that feeling of kind of flushed, overwhelmed. At one point, I'm like, he is so damn good at going from that to moments later, softening and encouraging and empathizing, recognizing that you're trying. I mean, it just can switch so quick. Or you can be very firm with this person and then immediately is turned off as he's talking to this person. And that just back and forth dynamic and how much he can change that. I mean, it's exactly what he can do with a horse, but it's just, to me, it struck me as to how artful he is as a communicator and as a teacher with that ability to hit people kind of with what they need at the moment. Of course, he doesn't always nail it, whatever. I'm sure some people are like, he was too hard on me. But for the most part, holy cow, very, I don't know why it struck me so much, but I think I was just very ready at this clinic for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. No. Diana says his intuition and perception are brilliant. Yeah.
So there were comments along there that we didn't get back to.
I'll scroll back. I'll scroll back and get to those, and we'll wrap it up, you guys, together. So Nicole says, sounds like such a great clinic.
Nicole's going to be in Sheridan for the first day.
You shut up.
She is.
I know.
Sorry, you won't be there. It's going to be awesome.
Well, Nicole might be in Dayton.
Oh, and I won't be there. That's disappointing. But all right, I got to run. That's my story.
Yay.
We can talk more about it next week, because I'd love to see and hear what comments are, but you can take it away from here.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Have a great boot camp. We'll talk to you later. I'm just going to scroll back, you guys, and read the comments. Yeah, maybe. Bye. Nicole. I get it. Maybe. Bye, Michael. Have a good week.
Bye.
And here we go. Okay, so I've got to go all the way back here to the beginning. Lisa says, Emma, I never knew you were doing that with the music. That's so funny. Very interesting. Whenever I hear a song that Buck tends to play during his rides, I instantly remember. Oh, yeah. So this is the thing. I have used it super duper intentionally throughout the years. I thought everybody knew that. Emma, Julie, Joanne, Jody, and me had the absolute delightful experience of riding with Michael right after the clinic. Oh, yeah. I bet. Oh my gosh. Sublime. Yeah. No kidding. Oh my goodness gracious. That is amazing. Okay. Well, does anybody else have anything to say? We were short today because Michael has a boot camp with new folks. So it's not the regular gang that understands about this show. Anybody? Probably not. What I think I'm going to do is do a tiny little video for the Horsemanship Insiders, because I just have a few personal updates about my horses that I want to note for the record and that might resonate with you guys. So I'll do that. Check the Facebook group for that. But Michael and I will be back next Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It'll be my birthday. It's the 18th, right? So my birthday is on the 25th. So it'll be the birthday show next week. We'll be there 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:30 Central. Lisa says, the only thing I knew is that you wanted to block out the country music with your own. Yeah. Well, okay, so here's the thing. Like, the country music is just not something I'm going to listen to later. So it would not do me any good, right? The only caveat, I would say, to marry a song to his ride is that you can't, if you want to keep that pure and that for a memory trigger, then you really can't use it for much else. So there's that. You gotta sort of assign it to that and be done. All right, everybody, so we'll see you next Thursday morning. Hopefully this episode will be on Spotify soon. Know that I'm doing a good job of getting these up on Spotify so you can watch them right ways up and so that you can just listen to the audio. So we'll see you guys later. I hope you have a good week going forwards. Bye.